The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
Last show before SEC Media Days. Let's get you ready. It's Friday, and you're on the line.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Tripp Upton.
Woo! Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well. It's on the line here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. I'm Christian Griffin here with you in the studio. Happy July 17th. We have almost made it to the weekend, and we have almost made it to SEC Media Days, our final show here in the studio for quite some time, as we are very, very excited. Started packing up some of our stuff, started making sure that all of our equipment was ready to go, so that way we can bring you fantastic coverage from Digital Drive in Tampa, Florida for SEC Media Days. We also have some new information, some new confirmations that we will be very, very excited to share with you a little bit later on in the show. We mentioned a couple of teaser names on the way out yesterday of some interviews that we do have confirmed. We have some other ones, some more news, and so a fantastic show we have set up for you here this afternoon. We're going to kind of give you a full recap of everything that we have heard over the last couple of months, and especially over the last couple of days, telling you everything you need to know before we go live from 2 to 4, but until one, or before 106.7 goes live, starting with the Max Roundtable, 11 a.m. on Monday morning. I'm Christian Griffin. I mentioned it. And across from me, my man Tripp Upton here with me in the studio as well. Happy Friday, sir. I know that you are continuing to get more and more excited for your very first SEC Media Days. We're looking forward to having a really good time.
Yes, the debut. Now, I'm excited. I am really looking forward to what next week is going to be, and just counting down the hours at this point. Got to get through the show today. Got to control what you can control. And have a great show. We got a good show planned
coach
for you.
Coach speak already at 2:03. Nice.
Hey, look, coach speak is coach speak. You know, we're here to compete, and you know, we're gonna give it 110% effort all day, every day here. But no, we got a good show planned for you today, and we've got some great stuff planned for you this week. I know we teased on the way out, if you didn't hear yesterday, a big interview scheduled to basically kick us off the week with a national championship winning head coach, Mr. Gene Chizik.
Yeah. Really, really excited for that, continuing to give, again, a little bit more every single hour, continuing to tease some of the things that we have for you coming up throughout SEC Media Days. What is the biggest coach speak terminology that you have? Is it 101% every day, or is it we're getting 1% better, one drop in the bucket every single day? Is there one that stands out to you?
When I played high school athletics in the grueling competitive sport of tennis.
Ooh.
My coach, when we won our region, or we were competing for a region championship, our coach told us, like, hey, we need to climb each step, and we're just like, why don't we just call it the ladder instead of the steps? He goes, no, it has to be the stairs. It has to be.
We've heard the stairs here in Auburn quite some time. You dang sure don't take no elevator with Mr. Harsin.
No, sir. I mean, I think he would have been disappointed with us coming away from the baseball media availability on I guess that was yesterday, riding the elevator. But no, I think that one.
I didn't know there were stairs there.
I know. Control what you can control is another good one. You're gonna have to get back to me. We need to power rank the best coach speak terminology.
Ooh, that's a really, really, it's a fun. That's a Friday for a later Friday yes. here this afternoon. But we are very, very excited. Again, this is going to be basically the full recap, telling you everything you need to know for SEC Media Days, because next week here on ESPN 106.7, we head out to Tampa, Florida for SEC Media Days presented by the Orthopedic Clinic, Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge, Apex Pest Solutions, and The Depot in downtown Auburn. You can join us Monday through Thursday for live coverage on Digital Drive in Tampa as we prepare to kick off yet another college football season. 7 hours of local coverage here begins with the Max Roundtable and Doug Amos from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Then we're going to take you on the line from 2 to 4, and Bill Cameron and his plethora of guests going to wrap everything up each and every day from 4 to 6. But it's all right here on ESPN 106.7. Again, throughout the week, we will have a giant list of headlines, interviews, storylines from the Tigers, the Tide, the SEC, everything you need to know to get ready for the 2026 college football season. Once again, a special thank you to the Orthopedic Clinic, Auburn Plaza, the Bar and Lounge, Apex Pest Solutions, and The Depot in downtown Auburn for fueling us up and sending us down to Tampa, Florida. Really excited for it all week long for live local coverage from SEC Media Days in Tampa, Florida, right here on ESPN 106.7. We mentioned it. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Appreciate everybody for being here with us on this Friday afternoon. We haven't teased it quite yet, but a special guest here joining yes. us in the studio, playing a little bit of the stalling game, and nobody would have ever known two wheels that made its way into the parking lot. I think there may be four wheels on the ground now. A man that we haven't heard from quite some time and clearly haven't seen in quite some time, the fully bearded Lance Daw, host of Locked On Kentucky, writer for the Barn Auburn as well. Happy Friday, sir. Hopefully all is well in your world.
Is the beard that, like, dramatic? I need to know, because everybody, including everybody on Locked On Kentucky, the first episode I did with it, like, there were like 50 or 60 comments. Most of them were about it. And I'm like, I didn't realize this was so compelling to all of you.
It's just very, I guess I've never seen it.
And I've never had it, actually. Never had this before.
It looks good.
Thank you.
The Just for Men's really coming out on the bottom.
No, I also, my car did explode in the parking lot before I ran
That's
in
okay.
Here
You're here now.
I was flying, dude. I feel like I got rage baited on the way here by somebody who was doing like 10 miles under the speed limit and then basically came to a stop
in
at
Auburn?
A green light.
Yeah.
Can you imagine somebody who doesn't know how to operate a motor vehicle in Auburn, Alabama?
No.
It's just impossible for me to get around.
And it's sunny too. It's not even raining.
It's not even raining, dude.
I mean, that makes it just that much worse. But no, it does look good, and happy you're here.
Thank you.
And so again, if we all need to go and make our comments about the beard on the show, as we will happily do so. But I know you are excited. You're not making your way to Tampa this year, are you?
No, I'm not. I think that they blacklisted me for Media Days ever since the voting scandal of like 2022, if you guys remember that. I don't want to get into the details, but you know what I'm talking
about. I do. I'll carry on the tradition if I need to. There's somebody that has to carry the boat. Carry the boat?
Well, who's going to carry the logs?
Carry the logs? What does the coach speak about the boat?
Burning the boats.
Is that what it is? We're going to burn the boat?
Because you can't go back.
But that seems pretty
self-inflicting. Because you can't go back. You can only go forward.
I see. Okay. Yeah, so you're going to burn the votes, a.k.a. the boats.
Yes.
And we'll talk about how much I need to pay you to make that happen here.
Once we go to break, that's what... You know what? Yeah. Let's take an early... No, I'm just kidding. We won't do that. But we appreciate everybody for being here with us. It is a free-for-all Friday, and you're going to feel the epitome of that. We will have a full house here for hour number two, at least for a little bit. Again, Lance Daw here with us in the studio to kick off the afternoon. But if you want to be a part of today's conversation, the phone lines are open all afternoon long. You can be a part of it at 334-321-1390. Any quick hitters, any text box number, or any comments, I guess, in the text box, any perfect coach speak that you have for us to carry us through the Friday show or all of SEC Media Days. If there is one thing that coaches said that you loved or you hated or just made no sense to you whatsoever, please send that our way so we can get a good laugh out of that. 334-784-1685. Again, 334-784-1OTL. And I feel like the perfect way to start this is just kind of throwing it to you, partner, and just letting you look at it from the overall SEC perspective, your generic thoughts of SEC Media Days, kind of the unofficial start of college football season.
Yeah, that's the first thing I want to talk about, is that these past few weeks are, for me, like the time where you really start to get into the research, the time where you really start to realize, okay, we're about 50-ish days away from kickoff. Yeah. Like, we don't have to wait forever.
I believe this officially 50 from Auburn today, football, right? Yeah.
So, like, it's happening. So we're officially, like, it's around the corner, and so the excitement starts to build for me, where I obviously, with Kentucky, like, I spend so much time focusing on basketball, and usually from about November to late May, I'm like, you know what, yeah, basketball is my favorite sport. But right around today, right before media days, where we are starting to dive into just preparing ourselves for all these different storylines, how wide open the conference is, Arch's second season as a starter at Texas, whether or not Georgia can actually take the leap past an SEC championship and deeper into the playoff, whether or not Auburn can actually get back to form after half a decade of just whatever this has been underneath Harsin and Freed. Like, I'm starting to get excited. I'm really looking forward to the weather not being so just atrocious, yes, as it is right now. I mean,
you already know, though, because of how long it took to get hot in, yeah, in November, it's going to be a 94-degree Iron Bowl, just for no reason whatsoever.
But that's the thing for me, is kind of like setting the table for just media days as a whole. It's just the excitement. Yeah. Man, there's just so much going on. What does Ole Miss do with Pete Golding now officially at the helm? LSU with their $40 million roster, are they going to be able to keep things going under Lane Kiffin? Does Sam Leavitt actually have the health to keep the Tigers rolling? That game against Clemson, I think people are starting to overlook a little, yeah, bit. Baylor in week one for Auburn, that's a team they ran all over a season ago. What does that look like? I'm also really interested to see what McPherson and Champ have to say at media days. Obviously, with Champ being one of the leaders of this program, I think Justin Ferguson put out a really good piece the other day talking about how, yeah, he's not necessarily been on the field a ton, but he's been a captain, and he's a guy that this locker room really trusts and somebody that wanted to come back to Auburn. I'm excited, dude. There's just so many things going on that we could just dive and sink our teeth into. It's fun.
Yeah, no, I think that that's a perfect way of putting it. In the I don't want to say it's Christmas Eve per se, yeah, with football still being a little bit away, but it's like after the Thanksgiving dinner, after the rivalry games of college football, it's finally Christmas season.
Yeah.
That's kind of
what
the vibe.
I'm usually asleep after Thanksgiving dinner.
I put up my tree yesterday. I'm here.
It's just college football logos everywhere.
Yeah, it's literally just
the Stanford tree.
It's just the Stanford tree. Yeah,
there it is. It's imperialism, though, right? After a win, you take off those ornaments and you just add the new logo.
And for every Auburn loss, I shave a bit of my beard until it's all gone.
Ooh.
I'm kidding. I can't do that.
That's what it is. You haven't shaved your beard since Auburn won seven. It's been 7 years.
I've been growing that, it just all kind of came to fruition here over the last couple of weeks because I realized I have my joy back with a new head coach. Just the excitement, just now the beard's here.
I do. It doesn't feel quite like the office scene of like, oh God, it's happening. But like, you feel like you're almost there. And Monday, yeah, I guess Sunday when we're making the drive over, getting everything we need to do and getting our table set up, it will feel a little bit like that. And again, we mentioned it yesterday, mentioned it just a few moments ago as well. Head coach Gene Chizik will be joining us basically to get the show started live at 2:10 on Monday. And so a really, really cool start to SEC Media Days. But
Some words of wisdom to send us on our way in Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, what better way to get the week started? And you mentioned them a little bit, but I think there's been a lot of talk about the three players that Alex Golish is bringing with them. We've given our thoughts on them and how they each kind of fit a different part of the mold, and the fact that is this a statement of Alex Golish putting an emphasis and a priority on all three phases of the game? Is this just simply somebody that, again, speaking, I guess, more so specifically right now in the Alex McPherson talk of he's the one special teams player that's making his way to SEC Media Days in what feels like quite some time, but you feel like his story, the reason that he is making his way, is not only because of the talent on the field, but because of the battles that he's faced off the field, and how now you can put all of that onto the football field and talking about building a culture, building an identity in year one with Alex Golish. What were your thoughts when you saw those three names? Again, Byron Brown, Champ Anthony, who you mentioned is kind of one of those captains off the field with the injuries, and then Alex McPherson as well.
I think for McPherson, a lot of people may kind of like question that, like, why wouldn't you go get somebody? But at the same time, like you mentioned, I think it's a really easy argument to make. Like, the guy's been around the program for a long time. He's had a ton of adversity that he's had to fight through, and now that he's fully healthy, I mean, he's going to be leading the charge for that unit. He should be one of the best place kickers in the entire country, yeah, now that he's fully healthy. That was kind of the expectation whenever he first got to Auburn, and now that he's got an opportunity to show that – with all of the different things surrounding him that could be discussed in Tampa, plus the fact that he's going to be such an impact player for Auburn this season, I think that, it makes a lot of sense. I would be curious to hear who else y'all would have picked. But I do like the Champ selection, again, because of a captain, because of who he is, because of the fact that he's been consistently such a good interview.
Yeah.
And then Byram, I think it's just kind of a no-brainer. I mean, that's the obvious pick. You're bringing your quarterback who's kind of setting the example for your offense. So I like all three picks, but who else would y'all have taken a look at?
Well, I think that that's been a lot of the discussion, and I wanted to get your opinion with the idea that there's the
question back to you.
I mean, I think that a lot of people expected someone like Xavier Atkins or Cole West. Those are two guys that I at least thought was going to be there, along with Byram. Are you someone that looks at it as the media days is the representation of your culture and your team, so you should pick? Or should you bring the three players that the media wants to talk to the most? Because we've heard such differing opinions, like...
That was what Doug asked with me yesterday, because he asked the question of... Man, when you're looking at those three names and think about them just in the giant room where they all go to their corner and everybody brings their microphone, their cameras, I'm not going to sit up here and act as if every single camera, even half the cameras, even maybe a third of the cameras, are going to make their way to Alex McPherson, right? And I don't think that's necessarily the overall expectation. And so you're at the point, if you are goalish of, okay, not putting words in his mouth, but the mentality of screw the media, we're going the guys that we want to prove that wear the Auburn logo to their best ability, that represent our program, our unit, our town to the best of their ability, although it may not bring the overall media buzz that one of the top linebackers in Xavier Atkins or a Cole Best that, again, has worked with Byram Brown, that has worked with Alex Golish, or even maybe one of the receivers, whatever the case may be. Even Champ Anthony, you feel like there are not too many people outside of Auburn or outside of the state of Alabama that understand his full story. And so it is a very different type of perspective rather than Chris Gordy mentioned it. You go look at the guys that Texas is bringing. It's like, okay, first round pick and second round projection right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that that's a really interesting question to say. Is it about the culture for you and representing kind of what you want to do, or is it more about, you know, kind of catering to the media? I think it's circumstantial. I think it's a coach by coach basis, because you're going to get some guys that just simply don't care. They're just like, I'm going to bring my guys and this is going to be it. And then there are going to be some people that maybe have their PR team or the people around them say, well, maybe you need to kind of like focus on these guys. And they actually listen. The coaches actually listen to those people that are suggesting who they should bring. I think for Auburn, though, it's a really great representation of the culture.
Yeah.
To, like you mentioned, I think Atkins or Best would have been a perfect selection. Just it makes a ton of sense. But Champ with his story, McPherson with his story, Byram with his story. I think actually Nathan King of 24/7 actually put out an article a day or so ago just kind of breaking down how Byram got to this point. And it's a much more interesting story than you would expect with his physical growth, with the development, with how he got to Auburn. There's a lot going on here for all three of these guys. And I think that for Golish, it is a great representation of the culture. It is a great representation of what Auburn is and what they want to be this season, instead of just guys that are just going to be high-end, the focal points, I guess I should say, of offense and defense respectively, because I think a lot of pressure and attention is going to be put on Best. No duh, it's going to be put on Atkins. He's one of, if not the best linebacker in the country. So I like what Auburn's done in terms of, we're just going to focus on culture and our dudes here, but I do think it is a coach by coach basis. And honestly, if you're the media, does it really matter? Because, like, you're going to get players that are you're going to be able to kind of sink your teeth into one way or another. So I'm happy with the selections. At the end of the day, though, I don't see coaches kind of like going outside the box so dramatically where they're like trying to tell the media to stick it in one way or another. We'll just bring a bunch of walk-ons like and stuff like honestly,
would that not be the perfect Kirby Smart?
I was
type
about
of
to say
way,
I could
though.
See Kirby doing that 1,000%.
The Nick Saban standpoint
Dabo doing that.
We're gonna ask these guys questions about the program, but that's the true definition of get in, get out, which we've talked a little bit about. I think the quote unquote winning SEC media days, winning the media, is so overhyped. It's so overly talked about because, again, we talked about it. Last year was, even with the dramatics of Hugh Freeze and Lane Kiffin and everything, it felt like last year, at least in terms of the drama side of content, the actual content was fantastic, but the coach jabs or whatever the case may be felt a little bit underwhelming because it was like, we're all here, but You know, nobody's going to go make a fool of themselves. Everybody speaks in that coach speak. And so I think we're expecting some differences this year with so many first-year head coaches, so many guys that are in such unique positions. And something you hit on, talking about the three guys that Auburn brought and how it is. It's a coach-by-coach decision in terms of the culture, in terms of the scheme fit, in terms of just being in front of a camera, being in front of a microphone. But I think the biggest thing for Auburn, yes, you have the questions of why did Xavier Atkins not join you? Why did Cole Best not join you? But I don't think that is going to be the highlight of Auburn media days on Tuesday morning, but I don't think that will be the case, or I guess I should say I do think that will be the case for a couple of these other schools after not bringing some really big time names. And we'll take our first break here this afternoon because I do want to ask that question, because there are some programs that did not bring their top end talent that you think would be the no-brainer. We're off and running here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line. If you want to be a part of the show, give us a call, 334-321-1390, or send us a text at 334-784-1685. We'll talk LSU. We'll talk Missouri. We'll talk a couple other big-time teams that didn't bring their star players when we come back.
From revolution to rockets, from dusty frontiers to city skylines, these are the moments that shaped America. This is the American Minute, presented by Bucks Island. September 1814. The War of 1812 raged. British warships bombarded Fort McHenry through the night. Explosions lit the sky over Baltimore Harbor. Watching nearby was a young lawyer named Francis Scott Key. All night long, rockets burst overhead. When the morning arrived, Key searched through the smoke. Still flying above the fort, the American flag. Inspired by what he saw, Key began writing a poem. A poem that would become America's national anthem. One more moment that shaped the country we call home. This American Minute is presented by Bucks Island. Family owned and operated, serving boaters since 1948. Online at bucksisland.com.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
All right, we're back here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line. He is Trip Upton. He is Lance Daw. Not sure that my radio people would know which way my finger pointed, but Trip Upton is looking at me now, and Lance Daw is looking at me off to my right, off to his left. And so no better way to go about it. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for being here with us. The phone lines are open all afternoon long. If you want to be a part of it, if you have any of your thoughts on SEC Media Days or anything else we are talking about or anything we are not talking about, feel free to give us a call. 334-321-1390, and that's where we go to get the afternoon started with Spectre. You're on the line here on this free-for-all Friday. What do you got to tell me about the offensive line?
Hey, fellas. TGIF.
Yes, sir. TGIF to a T.
Hey, listen, this is media day coming up, and that's where it all starts. You know, I hear that some universities are not putting their prime players up front. And I can see that. What I want, I don't want to hear from Brown. I know what Brown can do. I want to hear from our offensive linemen. I want the two tackles in the center up there, center stage. I know what our kicker can do. Don't want to hear from him either.
Do you think that if obviously hearing from the offensive line is what you want, but I guess just from the backfire perspective, if things don't work out, would that go somewhat negative from the overall coaching staff?
Well, you know, these guys haven't played in the SEC, okay? Mm-hmm. And I hear all that talk, just like with Brown, and I want to see how he does against the SEC defense.
Sure.
And I want to see what our offensive line does against the SEC defense. These guys played pretty good down in Florida. Where did they come from?
Came from South Florida. Funny enough, they came from Tampa.
Yeah, that's right, Tampa. So I'm anxious to see what they can do, but I would like to hear from them. I want to hear what they're bringing to the table, what perspectives they got, what lookout do they have, so on and so forth. But I'm really anxious to see that. But what do you guys think about having those three guys up front?
Well, I think that having a guy like Byron Brown is kind of who's been the face, who's been the lieutenant to what Alex Golish is trying to do with this offense, as well as just the starting quarterback, is a no-brainer. I definitely think Champ Anthony will be able to turn some heads and remind people that he has the ceiling to be a top corner in this league and will be able to be someone that I think the media will really like. And then Alex McPherson's story is fantastic. I think it shows that Alex Golish can focus on all three aspects. It's not just here's our best offensive players, here's our best defensive player. Basically, who are we paying the most in NIL to? It's here's what our program's about. We're going to be an explosive offense. We're going to be a physical defense and a special teams that doesn't make mistakes and converts on opportunities. I think that's kind of the idea.
I think you hit the nail on the head, Trip. I think whoever gets the most NIL is going to be out there on media day.
Yeah.
I think it obviously plays a big factor because, again, the more NIL, the more dollar signs that are thrown your way means the more cameras, means the more microphones, means the more pressure as well. And so I feel like there's definitely a weighing out that the coaches have to go through just in terms of, yeah, again, Byron Brown, the quarterbacks, you feel like for most teams are a no-brainer because, as you're mentioning, those are the guys that have the spotlight. Those are the guys that have the pressure because everybody's going to see their last name and see their talents every single snap.
All right, fellas, it starts in the trenches.
Yes, sir, it always does. And we'll make sure to give you everything we can in terms of what the offensive line looks like and some questions for maybe the head man. We'll tell you a little bit more about that later.
I think he makes a good point as far as hearing maybe from at least one O-lineman. Like you mentioned, I think Best would have been a good choice.
Yeah. Having somebody to represent the unit as a whole that arguably has the most question marks of the entire team.
I would have taken Stanton. I would have taken Joe Simmons. I mean, is Cole Skinner going to be a backup right guard, or is he going to start? What does the offensive line look like?
I really don't know. I know that he was taking kind of the ones reps during the spring, but you feel like there are so many different guys, which comes with, again, the positive mentality of, okay, well, if he's taking reps and there are other guys taking reps with the ones or the A teams or whatever the case may be, then it's a good problem to have with depth. But, again, it's all about who's going to be the five guys that you can trust to walk out there in Atlanta.
Hey, in the words of Theodore Roosevelt, speak softly and carry a big stick. If this offensive line unit goes completely under the radar going into the season and is just five monsters up front, I think I'd take that before they have to speak at media days.
I agree.
Was that coach speak too? That was
a little bit. That's
pretty
just a
nice
good quote.
Right there.
That's a good quote.
That is fantastic. But talk about flying under the radar. If you could, I mean, just match the expectations that the Auburn offensive line has had over the last handful of years to where the offensive line isn't an issue, I don't think there's too many complaints whatsoever. We'll take a break. We'll come back, take a little bit more looks at the SEC Media Days, other names that are working their way to Tampa that will be wearing different colors.
You're on the line, and we're just 30 minutes in. Now back to the studio with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7.
30 minutes into the Friday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. He is Trip Upton. He is Lance Dahl. I'm Christian Griffin. We're having a good time here in the studio, kicking things off on, as Spector said, TGIF. We're almost there, counting you down to the weekend and counting you down to SEC Media Days as well. Again, myself and Trip will be leaving Sunday mid-morning and making our way down to Tampa. We'll get everything locked in and ready to go on Sunday evening, just so that way once Monday hits, we're full speed ahead. We're doing everything we can, again, as we've talked about all week long, to bring you the very best coverage that we can. We have so many interviews scheduled as well as our longtime guests that we have here on our shows, but some guys from ESPN, guys from SEC Network, and some really, really cool ones that we are in the process of working out as well. And I feel like it's a good enough time to mention it that Tuesday morning is Auburn's media day, obviously. They're going with, it'll be Auburn and Georgia that morning. As of yesterday, we are confirmed to be sitting down with the head man, Coach Alex Golish, on Tuesday morning. And so, again, not that you want to miss any day, but Tuesday, you definitely want to be there, sitting down with Coach AG, with Coach Golish, talking all things Auburn football. We'll talk offensive line. We'll talk defense. We'll talk about the reason of his choice of why those three names are being brought to SEC Media Days, as well as just anything else. Feel free, shoot us any questions that you have that you would like for us to send his way. But very, very excited for that. Greatly appreciate everybody in the athletics department for letting us be a part of a very, very special week. Again, George and Taylor do a fantastic job being able to see George yesterday with Coach Ammo's introduction, being able to speak with him, and then Taylor Bryan as well for Auburn football. Again, really looking forward to continuing to build that so that way we can continue to have our footprint and give you everything you need to know on ESPN 106.7. But while we do have a little bit of time, and again, kind of pushing everything back, as we seem to do on Friday shows, or just basically every single day during talking season, one of your thoughts, Lance and Tripp as well, I guess, because we've talked about this a little bit, but some of the names that are not making their way to SEC Media Days. Chris Gordy mentioned it yesterday, Ahmad Hardy from Missouri not making his way.
Wow.
You don't have Sam Levitt, and I think the Hardy thing could be the recovering from injury to making it to where it's like, as much as that is unfortunate, if Ahmad Hardy is behind a microphone talk, that's going to be a lot of the conversation, obviously, unless you nip that in the bud and make it to where it's like, okay, I will not be talking about this. But even then, that makes it a very awkward type of conversation and environment. Yeah, exactly. But Ahmad Hardy not making his way, nor is Austin Simmons from Missouri. You don't have the biggest one you feel like is Sam Levitt. Yes. And when we talked about for Auburn, you have the questions of why Xavier Atkins, why not Cole Best, why not any of those other guys that we've mentioned. But you at least get to the point of where it's not, well, Coach, okay, why is it not this? Why is it not that? You understand the reasonings for Auburn's three names, but I'd be lying if I said there's not going to be three or four questions, I would assume, of Lane Kiffin. Hey, Coach, why is your quarterback not here? Because some of the other teams, Alabama, Tennessee, teams like that, still trying to figure everything out. Understandably, they're not going to be bringing their QB1s, but I don't think there's too much of a battle in Baton Rouge for Sam Levitt.
No, and then on top of that, I mean, obviously Weeks makes a lot of sense. Trade as Green over maybe some of these other weapons that you brought in. Like, I understand that he's coming back and he could be one of the best, if not the best, tight end in the SEC, but him over some of the other options that you could have, some of the other guys that you could have had on
defense. Is Whit Weeks, did you say that because of his talent on the field or because of the connection off the field?
I think it's a mix of both.
I'm sure there's a little bit of pressure.
It's a little bit of both. I mean,
I'm bringing my son-in-law.
Is it Daughtry or Daughtry?
Daughtry.
Daughtry at Ole Miss. I mean, he was good last season, but like, is that the best? I don't know. Like, two of these guys, you can make an argument for Green. I'm not seeing it with, like, there are other players, like Levitt over either of these other two guys. Oh, Levitt over Weeks, I mean, would have possibly made sense depending on who you got outside of him. Like, the LSU,
you're almost looking at it of like, yeah, well, Tre'Davious Green was a part of LSU last year, and he was one of the four
that stayed. But like, there are other weapons on this team that I like. I don't know.
Right, and you couldn't even say like, oh, Levitt is a transfer quarterback or Austin Simmons is a transfer quarterback. You know who did bring transfer quarterbacks? Byron Brown at Auburn. And then Kenny Minchie at Kentucky, another transfer portal kind of quarterback that this is first year in the system, and they're bringing him along.
Yeah, Kenny's going to be so good, dude. We're not ready for it. I'm kind of gassing him up a little bit, maybe irrationally so on the show. But like, we're not talking enough about Will Stein and a competent quarterback in the SEC.
I 100% agree about that. Yeah. I have talked about it. I don't think that this year is the overall, like,
it's not going to.
This is
year.
The year for Will Stein.
Yeah.
Yet that being said, when you looked at the transfer portal class, you look at the recruiting class right now and what is expected, I think that Kentucky got a home run hire that, I agree with you that I don't think too many people are talking about. Yeah. I am very, very excited to hear about Will Stein. And correct me if I'm wrong, yesterday we got the email about the SEC, the region's, basically the coaches show.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Stein was not on there.
Hmm.
Unless that was just a misprint. Let me pull it back up to make sure
I think someone was talking about that. I saw that as well, that it was obviously Alex Golish, Lane Kiffin, Pete Golden. It was basically almost all the first-year coaches except
Yeah, so this was from Jennifer Elmore of Regions Bank, and she sent us all an email talking about Regions Extra, Welcome to the SEC. It's a video podcast featuring four new SEC head coaches. It's Ryan Silverfield at Arkansas, Alex Golish at Auburn, John Sumrall at Florida, and Pete Golding at Ole Miss. And so I didn't know if you had any knowledge of if that was declined by Will Stein or if that was just – I highly doubt it's because he didn't get the invite or if it's just the fact of we had to pick four and –
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, maybe they just picked four and ran with them. But
I mean,
why
would you go Silverfield over Will Stein?
Yeah, Stein has been very open to doing media stuff and been very public with like KSR and all these different outlets, like going to talk and hype up his program. So I don't think that's the problem. I'd be kind of surprised if he turned it down. I want to be clear about something real quick. Me saying that I'm like really excited about Minshew and Stein, like, does that mean I think Kentucky's going to go 9-3 this season? No. Do I think they're going to be like a bottom third team in this league? Probably so.
But if your win total is 4.5,
I think they get to a bowl.
Those expectations. Yeah. I mean, a game and a half over your expectations.
Yeah. I think they get to 6, and I think that I actually had Gordy on Locked On Kentucky yesterday, and he said it, and I agree. Kentucky's going to get somebody that they shouldn't.
Yes, I agree.
And I'm going to keep it a buck. I'm on record saying it. I think it happens in week 2. And
I was going
to
ask.
It has nothing to do with the fact that, like, I think Alabama is objectively a more talented and better program. And they've got better players, but you're starting a new quarterback heading into week 2 on the road against a Kentucky team that's going to sneak up on you.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to sneak up on LSU. They're going to sneak up on Tennessee. They're going to sneak up on Florida. They're going to sneak up on a lot of teams this season where you go in and say, it's just Kentucky. It ain't the Mark Stoops Kentucky. This offense is a little different. It's going to be a little bit harder to control.
You get Youngstown State to get the season started at noon on September 5th, and then Alabama, the 2:30 contest the following week before you head to Texas A&M. You then get South Alabama right there, and not that that's the way that you want to look at it, but you feel as if bare minimum you're sitting at 2-2. And although those would be relatively frustrating losses for Alabama, but then on the road at Texas A&M, I don't think that there's too much expectations there with Mike Elko and Marcel Reed, who I'll throw it out there. When we do our Heisman list, I think he makes his way to New York, to be completely honest with you. But then you have South Carolina, which is a winnable game with Shane Beamer.
Win it.
LSU, question mark, depending on how this LSU team gels.
Yeah.
Oklahoma and Norman.
That's tough.
Vanderbilt.
You better win that
So many
game,
question
dude.
Marks on what that looks like, but that right there, if you get Youngstown State, you get South Alabama, and say you get the South Carolina, you get the Vanderbilt, you're one win away from getting above your quote-unquote projected win totals while still having Missouri, while still having Louisville, while still having one of those teams like a week 2 against Alabama where you say it, they sneak up on a team that they're probably not supposed to go and beat.
This is disgusting that we're talking about Kentucky, and I want to get your thoughts briefly on Vanderbilt. I mean, I like Junior Sherrill and Cedric Alexander as picks for them.
Yeah.
Is Jared Curtis not locking this job down yet?
I've seen some people say that they might go to whoever the projected backup is that still has no experience. But
yeah.
Isn't there a...
There's a transfer from New Mexico State in there too, right?
Is it Piego Davia? Is that the guy that... Doesn't he have more eligibility? I think he's making his way... I think Theo Vaughn somehow got eligibility for... Piego Davia.
Yeah, that would be my guy. But I'm just shocked.
Are you saying
shocked.
That because he's not making his way to media days?
Yeah, he's not making his way to media days, and there just seems to be, like, On3 did an article recently where they were, like, projecting out starting quarterbacks for the SEC, and it wasn't Curtis. Like, Curtis, in my mind, the moment he committed to Vanderbilt, I'm like, oh, you're starter day
I
one,
thought
no
that was
asked.
That was almost, like, obviously every coach makes the argument of, yep, you're going to be the starter, you're going to be the guy.
Yeah.
Yet that being said,
he's
going
so
and getting somebody like that was a Georgia commit and then flipped to Vanderbilt, that kind of was the shockwave of the century of somebody leaving Georgia or leaving Alabama to go commit to Vanderbilt. But again, you feel like there are a lot of questions. I don't necessarily take too much stock from it of him not going to SEC Media Days because it's a freshman that has not played a down of college football. Yet that being said, you feel as if that was, as you say, the position that obviously everybody going to. You have 9 guys from SEC teams going to SEC Media Days, which is not the 12 or the 11 that you've seen in years past, but a very interesting one with Vanderbilt. So many question marks with that team, and I think that's why Auburn's overall excited to see them week 4 especially after a night game, the 20th year anniversary of the Trey Smith flip into the end zone following the blocked punt. I mean, there is a there are people talking, and I am not getting to that point quite yet, but I believe one of the Crane brothers talked about it yesterday of the start for Auburn, which has obviously been what we've looked at. Of the start for Auburn is so important because then if you can just survive the middle, if you can survive, was it October, I believe, and then you get to the Mississippi States, you Arkansas, get to the Arkansas, Samford, you get to the Samford, those need to be three right there. That needs to be three, and then you finish it up with the Iron Bowl. It
the most the point. Winnable Iron Bowl in, what, 15 years?
At least in terms of just...
In terms of what Bama's doing.
Correct.
I want to be, clear when I say
not
that.
Not of what Jordan-Hare Stadium looks like, or not because of the talent that Auburn has. But
it's the weakest
of,
Bama team that we've seen in goodness knows how long.
It's been the weakest Alabama team just in terms of overall talent, and again, question marks. And again, we talk about this now on July 17th if Keelan Russell is the answer, and all of a sudden that changes in November. I think it has the right to.
Yes.
But when you're looking at when Harsin was first hired, and everybody sat there and said, okay, Saban on his way out. Saban no longer that guy. This can be when you have that transition period of Auburn starting to take that. And you saw it with some of the recruiting classes with Freeze of landing 9 of the top 10 players in the state of Alabama. But, yeah, I mean, if you get to that point of the first 4 games, the first 5 games because of the question marks of Tennessee and their quarterback, those middle 3 and then the Iron Bowl, much less – you pull off what you feel like every SEC team has the very, I'm not going to use the word easy, but the capability of doing, of Auburn going to Oxford, Auburn hosting LSU, say you get one of those as well. I think that is why you're starting to see some of this legitimate excitement for the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah. But you know what we've been, I feel like Christian. I feel like every time we've talked.
Oh, I know. I
like
know where
you're
going.
For the last 3 years, it's like, we do this.
We do.
Where, like, it makes sense.
And that's why
sense.
I'm saying there's a chance.
There's
I'm
a
not
chance.
There's, like, we hope. We go in and it makes sense. The way that the schedule starts makes sense. You can beat Florida. You can beat Vanderbilt.
As tough as
you
the
could
schedule
beat Tennessee.
Is.
No game is out of reach.
No.
Not a single one. You could say, well, maybe Georgia. No, Georgia's not out of reach. Not with the way that we'll play offense. Not the way that we could potentially move the ball this season. They're not out of reach.
Not the way that we should. We
should.
Used that
there
word. That was our word on the show last year. I'm sure you remember that a couple of times. The emphasis on the word should. Auburn should have done this. Auburn should have run the ball. Auburn should have won. If Auburn goes and does what they should do with Byron Brown and Alex Golish, because again, these numbers speak for themselves, and I think it is a little bit different, and I don't think... Rightfully so, people are comparing are not comparing Hugh Freeze and Alex Golish because Alex Golish has had success in the modern day college football era. But again, should is still such a big word while you wait for the true proof of concept on the field.
Yeah, and I think that it's going to all come down to what momentum can you build early. I mean, you look at the again, you said it, Baylor, a team you beat last year handily. Mm-hmm. You're a better team than you were last year. And it's not in a hostile environment. It's in a de facto home game in Atlanta. You can get that done. I think that Auburn can also roll through. I mean, Florida will be a tough one. It's just kind of two unknown teams right now. And then Vanderbilt, is it Jared Curtis? Is it Blaze Berlowitz is the name of the New Mexico State transfer I had pulled up. But look, I think that the...
Gosh. Can you?
I can't lose to a guy named Blaze Berlowitz.
I can see it now. Jared Curtis gets the start, but struggles in week 1, 2, and 3. They then go to the change, and it's a guy that nobody's ever heard of that makes his way to Jordan-Hare Stadium.
And somehow, even though he's a pure pocket passer, rushes for 400 yards.
80 yards and a score that kills us, and yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, we say this, the shoulds, there's also the chances of like, what happens if you do this? You like, oh, you beat Ole Miss, you beat LSU, and then you like go to Starkville and drop a stinker. Or
that's the game I'm scared
about.
Yeah,
I'm terrified.
Thank
Mississippi
you. State. Oh yeah, yeah. Mario Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if that team is desperate.
Fluff Bothwell.
Bothwell.
I think
he's
still there.
Yeah,
oh, he's so good.
He is.
Good.
He's incredible. I mean that is a dynamic 1-2. I don't think the offensive line has a whole lot of excitement, and I don't know how much excitement the defense has, but those two names in themselves. But yes,
he's the prototypical would go off against Auburn quarterback, mobile, not a ton of knowns around the receiver room. Good running back, so they're going to try and stack the box. And somehow, like, Kamario Taylor is just built for beating Auburn historically. Like, you look at what Devin Dampier was able to do. Diego Pavia is just that kind of mobile gunslinger quarterback that doesn't have a ton of hype around
him. It's almost the Talen Green factor of you have to accept his athleticism and hope that he makes the mistakes, which you saw Talen Green obviously do, yeah. Especially in the second half in Arkansas and in Fayetteville. But I don't know. I think there's a lot of talking points that we'll continue to get to. And funny enough, you mentioned diving into the schedule, and that's why we're going to start hour number two. We're going to talk about what this Auburn team can gain versus what they could lose through kind of the overall schedule, talking about the momentum, talking about the crowd, talking about the fan base early on versus some of the bigger games in the middle and then the back half of your season. What each of those games could offer you in terms of momentum versus what could happen if you get done with 60 minutes and you see that your points are lower than the other teams. And so really excited for that. I know you're sticking here with us in hour number two, at least for a little bit. We have another special guest here standing outside who's just staring at us through the window. And so
yeah.
A true full house here this afternoon on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line. We'll come back and wrap up hour number one right after this.
You are On the Line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line. If it hasn't felt like it yet, it's definitely going to in hour number two. A full house, not an empty seat, will be open, will be vacant here in the studio, but that's exactly how we would like it. But as always, the phone lines are wide open. If you want to be a part of today's show, I've already had some engagement there, some engagement in the text box that I'll read in hour number two as well. Again, 334-321-1390, the phone line number 334-784-1685. Any quick hitters in the text box? And real quickly, over under for Auburn. I'm just kidding. I'm not.
Yeah, I'm taking the over. What is it, like 6.5?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, easy, dude. I'll hurt myself again. This is a masochistic ritual at this point with Auburn football.
I think that's just Auburn fans of like, hey, you sit there. If Auburn fans, and we speak to this as well, and the only reason that we are reserved is because we've felt this before, as have all the other Auburn fans. But if Auburn fans did not know their win total right now, like if that was not public, I would be willing to say that it's a full game ahead of what it says. I think that Auburn fans would have Auburn's win total at 7.5.
Really?
Look at the schedule.
I do.
Look at the schedule, man.
I think
the schedule.
How many Auburn fans, and this is not a shot whatsoever, and if you feel differently, please, again, let us know. But I feel like if you go and you ask the Auburn football true fan that watches and is like, okay, if you did not have any sort of previous knowledge and you look at this schedule now, you look at where they're played, how they're played, and the teams that are going to be making their way to Jordan-Hare Stadium, I think the expectation all of a sudden shifts to it's like, I think there's a possibility of 8-4.
I put them at 9.5, brother.
Yeah.
Hey, you will
playoff or bust.
You will be 5-6 going into the Iron Bowl, needing a win to make a bowl game, and you will like it.
Hey, that's all we're trying to do. We're just trying to get bowl eligible. Oh gosh, Auburn will. No, I can't make that joke on the air. That's really bad.
PR team came through.
The PR team.
Somehow my mic got muted. Sorry, I don't know what happened there. Radio bugged out. Hour number one in the books. We welcome Jack Hutton into the studio for a four-man hour number two.
An Auburn Network production. You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika sports leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
The value of wins and losses for the Tigers in 2026. Let's break it down game by game.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Trip Upton.
Hour number one of the books. We welcome you into hour number two here on the Free For All Friday edition of On The Line. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for being here with us as we count you down to the weekend. We count you down to SEC Media Days because, my goodness, there is so much excitement that continues to be built throughout the week, throughout really the months when we were confirmed to be able to go, making sure that we were able to get our table, get everything worked out. And now that we are receiving all of our information, getting everything locked down for the table, as well as some really, really special guests. Really, really excited for a very, very fun week. We now have on the show confirmed that we will start our start Media Days on Monday afternoon at 2:10 with head coach Gene Chizik of the Auburn Tigers, a national championship winning coach, to really get the afternoon, get the week started. Some words of chisdom, as Lance Dahl, who sits to my right, had to say regarding Mr. Chizik, and then we unofficially, but also, again, just, I guess, officially a few minutes after, announced that we will have our interview with Alex Golish as well. And again, a big-time thank you to George Nunnally, Taylor Bryan, all of those guys in the athletic department for letting us be a part of a fantastic week and to bring you personally all of that coverage as well from Tampa, Florida. We'll dive into a little bit more about that as the day goes on and to wrap up hour number two here this afternoon, but we mentioned it, the phone lines are wide open if you want to be a part of today's show. 334-321-1390. Had a phone call, also some texts in hour number one. And in hour number one, Lance was in the studio with us, and we talked SEC Media Days. We talked about the three names that Alex Golish is bringing with him. We also talked other names outside of Auburn that have made their way, or I guess that have confirmed to be making their way to Tampa, Florida, and how there are some big names that are not making their way to Tampa, Florida. And then we unofficially had a talk about Kentucky's win total and Auburn's win total.
And you're going to like it. You vet students from Lexington, if you're listening, call in. We want to hear about your Kentucky opinions. Stop.
That's actually all. If there is anybody in Lexington, Kentucky right now, please.
No, I mean like the vet students that have come down from Lexington. There's a big connection between the two. Anyway, sorry.
But it didn't go over your head, listener.
No, but all of that was in hour number one. If you missed any of it, I highly recommend you go back and check it out over at our podcast center over at ESPNAU.com.
And in hour number two, we're going to hear from Lance for a little bit. We have Christian here. We also have Jack Hutton, a good friend of the show, does some stuff with Auburn Analytics after the game. Basically everything that we do here. And he's for FCCing us.
Hour number two is now no longer on ESPN 106.7.
Yes, so we have Jack Hutton here.
My closer music.
Yes. He's closing.
I'm closing on a Friday.
You're closing, yes, okay. For sure. So
we're going to hand – Steve's about to walk in and hand Jack the FCC rule book on,
30 seconds,
on what he can or cannot play.
I don't know.
I don't know. Give the title. Give all of your credits.
Yeah, the title would be Edwin Diaz's Walkout Music.
Narco by Timmy Trumpets.
That'd be Narco by Timmy Trumpets. Yeah. Excited to be here, guys. Glad to do it. Let's talk some Auburn football.
Yes.
I'm ready.
We'll be talking Auburn football, some high school stuff as well, updating you kind of what you're going to be hearing this fall on the Auburn High and Lee Scott Academy networks. So super excited to get into that. If you need to set a scene for the full house, there is. I'm on home. Jack's on first, Christian's on second, Lance is on third.
Who's on first?
What's on second? I don't know who's on third, yes.
I'm third baseman?
I mean, the way I'm sitting.
That's what I'm talking about. I like being a third.
I mean, third baseman's usually the big, burly, bearded man, and so... If you haven't seen, go check out Lance Dahl on Locked On.
We've got Lance talking like a monster truck rally man to come into this. We've got first, second, and third base when we're trying to talk football in here.
Sorry. Okay.
Let's get after it, fellas. Come on.
Football season is back.
Sorry. Boom.
Easy.
Free for all Friday.
Uncle T-Bone might walk into the building and just
baby.
It's actually just an open door.
It's a seance,
It's an open door policy here this afternoon. We didn't even know either of these guys were going to be here. They just showed
showed up and
sure.
and walked in.
That's what he told me to do. Is
now number two, Tripp tries yodeling for the first time. We'll hear it live right here on ESPN 106.7.
That might be sure. might be exactly what it is. But no, he is Tripp Upton. He is Lance Dahl. I'm Christian Griffin. Jack Upton. Sure. Joining us.
I am Jack Upton.
Tony Gonzalez. Nice. But no, in hour number two, this was a what we talked about. To end hour number one, it's been something that Tripp wanted to talk about for quite some time, and I think it's a fascinating topic of conversation. It's what Auburn can gain or what Auburn could lose if you look at the scoreboard and where Auburn sits at that. Says Auburn gaining momentum, losing momentum, what it means for the overall fan base, just kind of working our way through the schedule, a little bit of a schedule reminder as well. And so I say we just kick things off with the fantastic home game that continues to get more and more media recognition for the overall NIL and the revenue even sharing that's going to be working its way through the Aflac kickoff game. We'll be able to tell you a little bit more about that with a special interview coming up in Tampa in a couple of days. But, gentlemen, we need, like, Jeopardy buzzers to know who's going to be talking at this point. But Auburn and Baylor. Auburn currently sits at a 7-point favorite. They're a touchdown favorite, and the over-under is right around 60. So they're expecting some points to be scored in this game. We'll start with you, Lance. If Auburn wins this game, what does this mean for the overall start of the Alex Golish era?
I think it means that...
Okay. I want to know.
We're 1-0. That's all that matters. We're on the week two.
Ooh, no. Goldfish memory.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Exactly.
Coach
Another Coach Speak thing that y'all are talking about.
Gosh,
early.
This is about to go off the wire because I'm about to ask this question to somebody that I probably shouldn't ask the question to.
Brian
Jack, we talked Coach Speak in hour number one. What is some of the best or worst Coach Speak that you have heard? We talked, again, burning the boats, and it's like,
sure.
It's kind of self-inflicting.
Control what you can control is good. If you remember.
Again, dropping the bucket, 1% better.
You remember in 2010. When Auburn's mantra was "Do what we do," there are teams that have gone 5-7. That's mantra has been "Do what we do," which I would argue maybe you do not need to do what you do if
don't,
you're going 5-7.
So maybe Auburn's just don't do what we've done.
Yeah, yeah. Do what we not be.
Ooh,
sure.
But it goes back to be who you say you are. Like that's been Auburn's sure. mantra, and so it's not just do what we do. It is be who you think and who you say you are going to be. So I like it more than what's been in the past. But
right.
yeah, my do what we do comes to mind.
But no, Coach Speak is just fantastic. The goldfish mindset. We're going to put our best players on the field
one day at a time.
Yeah,
one day at a time. Good week of practice.
Brings me back to my days. Let me go run poles real fast.
Oh no, I and team.
But there is one in win, Coach. There's not an eye in Lance
Battle
Dahl,
in the box.
So.
Let's go. Yeah, so
battle in the box, 1-9 battle.
If they win this game, I think it is going to help us set an expectation for the season, whether that be a healthy or unhealthy expectation. It's like you're winning the games you should. Cool. That's not what we've done for the last half decade. You've not beaten the opponents that you're more talented than. For the Baylor game, I mean, I said this yesterday on the Barn. Like, you can't discount the fact that there is so much pressure on Dave Aranda and DJ Lagway and this team to perform. Yeah, they have a new defensive coordinator that's going to try and apply a ton of pressure. Yeah, Dave Aranda's stressed about this, and he needs to win, and this would be huge. Yeah, DJ Lagway needs to prove himself. Don't discount the fact that they could come into this game playing maybe punching above their weight class a little bit. With that being said, this is a team you ran all over a season ago, and now you've got a quarterback that can do it again, maybe even more effectively than Arnold did a season ago where he ran for like a buck 36 or whatever it mm-hmm. was. This is a game you should win. This is a team you're better than. This is a neutral site that's not going to be neutral. Everything indicates that you should win this game by 7 to 14 points. If you don't, you're not, again, you're not beating the teams that you should. In my mind, with a 7-point spread at a neutral site, this is a game that Alex Golish should win. If he does, cool. I expect him to do so.
Does this add more pressure for you, Jack? And speaking more so just for the Auburn fan base as a whole, is there more pressure now to win the Baylor game because it is no longer a game inside Jordan-Hare Stadium? Because of the decisions that happened outside of Jordan-Hare Stadium, of the again, whether it's beneficial or not, which it clearly is, the NIL revenue of, okay, indirectly, it's we're choosing our players over the town, and we have we've had plenty of conversations about the projections of Auburn making $1 million every single home weekend in terms of overall taxes, overall revenue, whatever the case may be. And so you're now directing that towards Atlanta rather than Auburn.
Yeah, that was a big decision made, and I think you could probably pontificate a little bit more about what the ramifications are outside of it and what they are in the city and community and everything. I get all that. To me, you're looking more so into the overall direction of the program when you are under a new coach in year one. So while I do think that, you know, let's say the worst thing happens. Baylor comes in punching above their weight class. They go up 14-0. Auburn put up a good fight and don't have the organization structurally quite yet to come back and win. Let's say Baylor wins at, you know, 24-21
or something
like that.
Yeah, just the rust.
Yeah, yeah. You're telling me that if you come back and rattle off a win against Southern Miss, Florida, and Vanderbilt, that you don't have the entire city of Auburn behind you when you go to Knoxville? Look, I'm not going to say the game's not important. Of course not. Because I think if you go in and you go 1-0 and you start that, you know, rattling off a few of those wins, that's going to be incredibly helpful for your program. It's going to get you going. But I do think that I don't want to boil the season down to one game every week, you know?
But I guess just for this conversation, if we're taking every single game week by week as the extreme, it's the altercations and have this everybody right hand up, please, and then right hand salutes President Eric with a text in the on the line text. Well, actually, he sent in some coach speak as well, saying his favorite is Brian Kelly's from a couple of years ago, that he's in favor of execution and that maybe the entire team needs to be executed after tonight.
Bravo, Eric. Bravo, dog.
That's some
known man of high upstanding character, Brian Kelly,
yes,
as well.
Exactly. Who said that he is willing to go back and coaching in the SEC. And there are people who said be the third or fourth best coach in the SEC, which is a conversation for another day. But he texted in and said, but if we lose the Baylor game, it's an absolute nightmare. We moved the game out of Auburn. It's the first game for Golish. All of the South Florida jokes that Auburn fans have been kind of deflecting in terms of the recruiting class, those now all work its way to fruition. He says he can't imagine the overall end results if Auburn doesn't walk away with a win in Atlanta.
Yeah, I think that looking at the what Baylor could be is that look at the rest of this schedule. Do you see more than two teams in the SEC that you would comfortably say Baylor is better than? Not really. I mean, you could maybe say Arkansas. You could maybe say Mississippi State and maybe Vanderbilt. But my problem is if Auburn goes and they drop a game in Mercedes-Benz Stadium on a national stage, it's going to be the idea that this Auburn team has not improved after basically dominating a better Baylor team with a good quarterback. Yeah, they didn't have the wins and loss success that you'd look for how much talent was on that roster. But Baylor, people had them in the preseason going to the Big 12 championship game, being a contender just because they had a great running game, good receivers, solid enough defense, and Sawyer Robertson, who I think was a fantastic quarterback last season. And I just look at this game with, you would win, you get a trophy, but you're really just trying to stay on par. It would not be good to double bogey the first game and just be a frustrating loss where, it's kind of what Cal was for Hugh Freeze, where you win on the road and you don't look great doing it, but you're able to defense and the running game was able to get you there. If you then go and bring them into a home environment and lose, the fan base is going to say, like, what is different? That despite you being better at almost every single premium position, you haven't improved any. That's going to be a red flag, at least to start the tenure of Alex Golish. And I don't think it's fair, but it's what it's going to be.
See, I would say, though, I mean, if you do that and then let's say you look up at the end of the year and you're 8-4.
Sure.
And you've got wins over, you know, you go into an environment, maybe you go to, I don't know, Ole Miss or something, you get a win, or you come out of here with a win over LSU or Arkansas. I mean, like, there's all these games that you could say, wow, we went 8-4, we got a win over this, man, we're in the right direction. So
doesn't that feel the perfect, maybe not as of late, but when Auburn in the late 2010s of like controlling your own destiny, it's like Auburn did still find a way to go 8-4, and it was like, man, if you would have just done this one thing against Baylor.
Look at 2007, if you remember that, if anybody remembers that year.
I mean, Tripp was born.
Auburn gets
was born the year before.
Auburn loses to South Florida at home. They lose to Mississippi State at home. They're 2-2. and they go on the road. They've got two wins over cupcake teams. They go on the road. They upset number four, Florida. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the year, they go 6-2, and they win a bowl game on New Year's Day, I guess. Yeah. So there, I guess the precedent is there, and I don't think anybody would look at that season as a failure. Yeah. I do think that there's some added pressure for it just being the first game. Yeah, I get it. But I do think that if somehow everything goes wrong in that first game, you got time to correct it at
sure.
least. It's not like you saw this thing fall off from the beginning of the year and you don't know how you're going to get it back going again.
For argument's sake, though, if we're breaking this down like a week-by-week thing, you're right. But just come out of week one for me, knowing that there's still the possibility of all these different wins on the table – I am looking at this South Florida offense with Byram and Best and Skinner and Davenport and Singleton and all these guys, and I'm going, what the hell, man?
Yeah.
Like, we beat this team last season, and we were insanely dysfunctional. You guys have been playing together for years, and you couldn't find a way to win against this defense?
Mm-hmm. And obviously the caveat would be if Lagway goes out and is 36 of 45.
At that point, you just punch
at that point, yeah, it's more of a tip your cap. But if it's the same style of game – and you look at it, instead of 38-24, it's the 24-21 where there's just – even in a game that it's just a high-scoring game, you go and you lose a 45-41 type of game. It's okay. Well, that sucked. But there were a lot of positives to come out of it. If it's a 24-21 type of game, I don't think you come out of week one, especially considering it was a home game that you turned into a neutral site and you look at it going, yep, but there's still a lot that we can benefit from.
And you got three straight home game after that.
Right.
A question. Mm-hmm. Let's say Auburn wins. What do you think is more likely, a like skin in your teeth victory or just an absolute blowout?
So given the fact of we are not
knowing
putting this to the fact
year.
Of if Auburn wins, this is if Auburn wins,
what do you think is more likely? They do find a way to squeeze one out, or they just beat the living daylights out of Baylor?
What do we define as beating the living day? Is it two scores or
we beat them by 21 or more?
Yeah, okay, so it'd be three scores.
We'll take a break.
Yeah, okay.
We'll come back, and we'll answer that question. If you have thoughts, if you want to call in, feel free to do so. Lance's question to us. Given the fact of an Auburn win in this hypothetical situation, Auburn beats Baylor. Is it more likely that it's a field goal game? Is it right at the cover? Or is it double digits and it feels like one of those games that Auburn walks away comfortably? We'll all give our thoughts as we're just off and running here in hour number two on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
All right, we're back here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. Appreciate everybody for being here with us. We got just about everybody in the studio as well. Trip Upton right in front of me, Lance Dawe to my right, Jack Hutton to my left. I'm Christian Griffin. We're having a good time here in the studio, and funny enough, we always realize that our talking points that we put for our rundown every single day, which is a fantastic problem to have given that there is more conversating that we need to have for each topic, but we have it for each game, and I just have a feeling that we're not going to be able to get through that.
That's fine.
Here this afternoon, but again, we're diving into Baylor, which is obviously the most important one. It's the one that gets everything started here this year, and we talked about the pressure to win, the pressure, what happens if you lose, and Lance, on the way out, you asked the question of, okay, Auburn wins the game, but there's a bullet point that goes with it. Is this a field goal game? Is this a touchdown game that Auburn just wins kind of grossly? Or does Auburn walk away with a victory against DJ Lagway, against Dave Aranda, one that feels relatively stress-free, and they make their way back to Jordan-Hare Stadium for Southern Miss next Saturday? Takers?
I have my opinion. I want to hear y'all's, though.
Y'all go first. Jack, you start us off.
To me, I think it's more likely that Auburn blows Baylor out rather than it being a field goal game that Alex McPherson has to win in the end. Lance, you and I kind of talked about this during the break. Oh, I mean, all four of us did. And if you remember back to what Baylor did last year, they sat in that too high defensive pressure.
Cover two, high shell. Yep.
All game. They
the
had
linebackers.
Four linemen and a couple linebackers.
Linebackers sat 7 yards away from the line of scrimmage.
And Auburn ran it up their nostril all night long. So I think the point that I'm getting here is that, okay, Baylor's going to have to do something different on defense. How does Auburn counter that? And I think what we've seen with Alex Golesh in the South Florida offense is that he does that real well. So when you sell out to stop something, he does the other thing really well. And I think that Auburn's going to do that well. I also like the fact that you have DJ Lagway, who's been a consistent – he's known as a dual threat guy. And I think that he makes a lot more sense if you're getting on his feet, getting out of the pocket, running the ball with, and trying to make plays downfield. I think that if you're in a Baylor offense like Dave Aranda has kind of cooked up the last few years, if you're in this Baylor offense, you are a pocket passing air raid. You want to air this out. And you mentioned this, Lance, during the break. The receiver room at Baylor is thin right now.
Trip, how many rushing yards did Sawyer Robertson have last year?
In the game?
No, total, all season.
I can pull it up. Y'all continue talking.
I bet it's not a lot is what I would say.
Again, I mean, obviously, sack yardage a factor in that.
Yeah,
but.
And I'm just saying, though, like
17
total rushing yards.
He had 230 the year before that, though.
And again, I know he dealt with injuries, but
it's what Baylor.
But it is a sit in the pocket and throw it around quarterback. I think Auburn's going to get after him. You mentioned putting Xavier Atkins on an island.
It's what I've talked about for him. Xavier Atkins is box in one defense of it's like in basketball. The other guys are going to play a 2-2 zone essentially. And I am going to – ooh, there we go. Fantastic basketball coach speak. You're going to know what kind of flavored gum he's chewing because that's how tightly you're going to guard him.
Goodness.
I got that. Oh, man.
I haven't heard that one.
Really? Wow.
Coach Kamal Harris, I'm thinking about you, brother.
I mean, is that not –
I heard that from him
a couple
of times.
You're going to know what kind of gum he's chewing because you're going to be playing him so closely.
That's exactly
that's exactly that right there. But you're telling me that if you play essentially a box and one in football, you make it 10-on-10 – and you take away the X factors of Xavier Atkins and DJ Lagway's scrambling ability, you're telling me that there's not every single arrow pointed towards the Auburn Tigers?
How many times is Auburn going to put the ball in the air if they know that they can get as many stops as they want to?
I'd go, was it Army who did that a few years ago? They didn't throw a pass in a game?
Yeah.
It's a pretty solid. I'd be willing.
May have been the game against Navy.
Even if it's hard to run the ball, like you mentioned, Golesh is going to have a ton of counters and ways that he can punish you because there's more guys than just the five running backs we have. By the way, we got five running backs, guys, which is awesome. But
and Byron Brown.
But even if it's tough sledding, I'm still probably not putting the ball in the air if I know I can move it, and Lagway can't do anything.
So second counter bullet point. Hold on, I want to get this out. But second thought that you have, if it's a blowout type of game, is that a 27-10 type of game, or would it be one of those lower scoring where you sit there and go, man, it looks like Auburn's offense didn't do a lot, yet they managed the clock for 41 minutes and they beat them 20-7 or 20-3, whatever the case may be, and Byron Brown is 7-for-11 passing the ball for 58 yards.
I think it's more likely that it's one where Baylor does not get off the mat. Like, they score 3 points, they score 7 points, and that's it.
Yeah.
And Auburn, maybe they don't scratch 35, but they go out there and they manhandle them. That's what they did last season.
I just don't see the defense being the problem in this game.
Yeah. When has it been?
Exactly. Well, but you're not bringing anything new.
No.
I mean, you're going to have DJ Durkin, who's already gone against this offense, who knows the tendencies and what's going to happen with that. I know you could argue the same for Baylor, but it's not like Baylor had success against this defense last year.
And Baylor did throw for like 400-ish yards on Auburn last season. But again, like you mentioned, who are the guys who's Lagway going to throw to? Yeah.
What was
like,
it? Michael Trigg last year
it was
100 plus. And but again, the first quarter. But again, that was the bend don't break DJ Durkin mentality that worked its way perfectly.
So y'all are all going blowout game?
Yeah.
I'll be the detractor here. I think Auburn, it's a close game, but Auburn pulls away late. Give me like a 10 to 13 point game.
I was going to say 13-10.
No.
13-10.
No, I think that DJ Lagway has a ton of talent, and I think that they're going to try and craft the offense about what he can do. His offensive coordinator coach guys like, I don't know, Johnny Manziel, Kyler Murray, Fernando Mendoza, Will Greer, Geno Smith, all of those, Brandon Whedon, good quarterbacks. I think they're going to make the system work, and they're going to be able to score some points, but I think the rushing offense, at the end of the day, their defense can't stop Auburn.
That's fair. We'll continue talking this when the music comes back and we come back here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line.
halfway through hour number two. You're on the line with Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
Thirty more minutes here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. We say goodbye to Lance Dahl, who's already in Atlanta. He is so fired up already about the conversation of the idea of blowing out Baylor that he's already pitched a tent. He's going and
nothing.
Okay.
Sorry.
Just slide past. I know exactly what Tripp's laughing about, but we're going to slide right past it. You keep on going.
You keep on going. But no, thank you for Lance to joining the show.
Lance Dahl, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Lance Dahl. All right. Right up there. Clap it up. Hey, all right.
He is really excited about the possibility of Auburn beating Baylor. And so he is now making his way. He's actually staying in a hotel now. In downtown Atlanta. He's going to go hang out with the Dirty Birds for a little
bit. Sure. But no, yeah, what the host.
Welcome back to On the Line, ESPN 106.7. I'll just take over if y'all want to keep playing patty cake over there.
I'm good. I'm making sure my host is good.
I'm fantastic. I was just trying to figure out the reason of the. I figured it out. I did, in fact, figure it out. Free For All Friday to a T. Now the On the Line text box is letting me know. Thanks, guys.
Getting reminded.
Clip it. Put it on a T-shirt. Send it into our Abbey reel. I think that's a winning performance right there. But we're going to put a brief pause into the Auburn football side of things because, again, I appreciate Lance Dahl for being here, the host of Locked On Kentucky, Locked On Wild. You can go check him out on YouTube and go check out the beard because it's fantastic. He can give adult takes now.
It's a fantastic beard.
It is. I mean, it is pretty solid. It is very, very solid. But no, it does that. Also a big rider for the Barn Auburn as well. And I appreciate him for coming in. I know you're going to hear his voice many more times throughout the fall. Especially with all of the high school coverage that we will have. And you talk about a perfect transition into that. For those that have not put two and two together, for those that have not been overly aware with everything, we have a man in here who is very excited for some new opportunities that are coming his way. And you've heard his voice a lot on the Auburn High Sports Network, but we've never been able to make the official remarks, the official comments, and the official recognition. But I think that considering we're a month away from the start of high school football, it feels like it does. It feels very appropriate to officially welcome Mr. Jack Hudden into a new role with the Auburn High Sports Network, the new voice of the Auburn High Tigers. And so wanted to give you your flowers, say congratulations, because I know we have not been able to officially make that public, whether that's, again, the official statements or it's not overly a big secret, I guess, for those that are in that world, but a congratulations to you, sir. And I know that you are very, very excited for, football starting next month.
Well, my friend, I appreciate you. I did not know that you guys were going to do this, so I really appreciate you guys bringing it up. I'm obviously just overly excited with what's going on. I mean, I'm going to have the ability to go and call games for my alma mater. And so that's, I think, one of the coolest things in the world is when you can go back and not just be a fan of where you graduated from, but be able to tell the rest of the Auburn High fan base, be able to paint the picture and tell them what's going on the radio. That's a childhood dream come true. And so I'm so excited and looking forward to it. I really appreciate you giving me that platform and kind of bringing that up. I didn't know you were going to do that, but thank you, buddy, and appreciate it, man.
Yeah, well, again, we're so excited. And for those that didn't have too much knowledge of it, Tripp is going to take a big role of what you were doing, right? Yeah. The halftime producer,
got some stat broadcast light stuff to work out.
With Mr. Upton, so. Although I think we've made a couple more comments about you joining the Auburn High Sports Network, congratulations to you as well. And so, again, you're going to hear a lot of those, too, on the Auburn High Sports Network. Wings 94.3 on Friday nights, 96.3 W Lee for basketball and for baseball and so and softball as well with the Auburn High Tigers. And so, again, we are very, very much looking forward to hearing your coverage, talking all about it. I know you're going to be a big part of this show as well because on the Lee Scott Sports Network,
Network. Myself and Caleb Robertson will be joining us for all the Lee Scott fan base and the family that's been listening. Join me a lot for baseball, and really, really excited to have him be a big, big part of the broadcast. We'll talk a little bit more about what we have planned here over the next couple of weeks, but we will be traveling. For those that have not heard, Lee Scott gets to be very, very familiar with pavement.
Yes,
over the
yes.
Throughout the state of Alabama, traveling up to Washington, Montana, basically playing in the ACC, but not having a plane and traveling. So we are Stanford. We're going to Miami for Friday nights. But with that, we will be on the road a lot. And so that will force us to miss a couple of Fridays because, again, a 3.5 hour drive. You can't make it 4 p.m. when your game starts at 7 and you want to get things going even earlier than that. And so Jack's going to be a big part of the show on Friday. I know Lance is going to be a big part of it as well. Caleb will be joining us as well. And so it will be, for the fall, a little bit of a mix and match. But no, wanted to give you your flowers because we've talked so much about this and the excitement that all of us have. And again, a big shout out to our good buddy, our best buddy, Jacob Goins as well, who helped me to get my steps going with Lee Scott and then obviously gave me the platform to be the voice of Lee Scott Academy when he made his jump to Auburn High. And I know y'all had so much fun on the broadcasts as well. But yeah, officially a new era for the Auburn High Tigers. It will be the alumnus of Mr. Jack Hutton calling the games. And again, we've talked so much about this, but the idea of being a broadcaster is one thing, but something that I think everybody falls in love with when you are a radio broadcast or even a TV broadcast for that matter of one team, right? You get to be that homer. You get to be the one that's while remaining professional and being able to see the other side of the football or whatever the case may be as well and compliment things and still call the game the way that it needs to be called. It brings so much passion and so much joy to what we do to be able to say that, yeah, this is our team. This is what we do. And so I speak of that just from my time at Lee Scott. Again, going into year three as the voice, going into year 4.5, essentially, of being a part of the Lee Scott Sports Network. And so I know that it's a really, really exciting moment for you and everybody that's there at Auburn High School, knowing that they're in pretty dang good hands with Mr. Jack Hutton.
Man, I can't wait. I can't wait for Friday nights. But it really, I think the thing that a lot of people look past is, you know, I mean, you get the random Wednesday nights when you got to go up the road a little ways to, you know, to whoever knows where in the middle of Alabama in a town you never heard of, and you get to call one of the most amazing basketball games or one of the closest softball games that you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And nobody would know about it except for the radio crew that was there and the people that were listening. I think you're familiar with that concept really well.
I'd say so. Yeah, from the AISA to the AHSA.
Absolutely. And so it's so special. You know, obviously this is – I don't think it's any secret that it's – it's not what I went to school for, but it certainly is the dream job. And man, I'm excited I'm excited to be able to serve my alma mater and my community back again. They've given me so much. Looking forward to having Tripp on the broadcast. I would be remiss though if I didn't shout out. I mean, Scott Bagwell, one of my mentors in the business, and a guy that I kind of came in under his wing. He taught me a lot of the technicalities of the broadcast, and he gave me a shot first. He was the first guy that said, I want you to get more airtime, so I want you doing these halftime, doing these post-game shows, but I want you to interview. And he said, I want you on the – I remember this very vividly. Scott said, I want you on there because you're good. And in this business, to get somebody to compliment you like that in a position like that, it means the world. And then obviously Jacob Goins, you know, doing what we've done the past few years, going to different towns on Friday nights and going all the way down to Alma Bryant for playoff baseball and just the different things we've done and memories we made. That's been so much fun and looking forward to making more with my big homie Trip over here. And then Christian, you and I, obviously, whatever we get into down the road, which I'm sure will be nothing short of a whole lot of adventurous times.
Whole lot of those, whole lot of birdies, whole lot of eagles.
Hopefully, I would
be willing to say that, yeah, some golf courses may be attended throughout the state
rip them up,
of Alabama. So, no, but wanted to give you your flowers on that because, again, I think that it's very, very important. And, again, with all of our high school coverage that we have, we talk a lot about Lee Scott. We talk a lot about Auburn High School. as well throughout the falls. And I know that we will be able to continue, especially with Coach Jacob Osment taking over the interim head coaching spot for Lee Scott Academy. We will be able to have him on the air as a weekly guest. I know you guys are planning on having Coach Etheridge as well. And so, again, fantastic high school coverage that we plan on bringing you, as well as everything for Auburn University, because, man, this community serves us so well. And that's from the radio station. That's from all of our high school sports coverage. I mean, what we are able to do, we take it for granted, even though we say that we don't, just because it's such a unique and such a special opportunity to, you mentioned the word serve, and that's how it feels to be able to do what we do. And it sounds cliche to say that we're so grateful to go down to Tampa and for SEC Media Days, but man, we truly are. And again, that works its way on air on ESPN 106.7 from AU 100.3 on Friday nights for Lee Scott Academy, Wings 94.3 for Auburn High School football, and everything that we have. Truly, the ability to serve the Auburn community is so special to us, and we try not to take it for granted. But man, you sit back and realize how cool, how unique these opportunities are, and they really are absolutely amazing to be able to see. And I know that we've experienced it a little bit more than you have, Tripp, but being able to step foot into some pretty big shoes to fill, no pun intended, as I literally look at Jack's foot off to my left. But I know that there is a whole lot of excitement being able to, again, serve the community of Auburn and Opelika.
Yeah, man. I'm just so excited that I will be able to be a part of the Auburn High Sports Network officially. I wouldn't count me uploading y'all's broadcasts on.
Oh, I sure would. I think you've been a part of things for a while. That's a rough job in itself.
But being able to be in the community, I've really learned so much over the past year, not only working here with the Auburn Network, who I want to thank people like Steve Witten, Jacob Goins, Ben Taylor, for bringing me in and helping me with that. But as well as being able to work with Auburn High last year as an intern in the fall, people like Dr. Soraya Scaife, who gave me an internship and an opportunity for someone that did not know more than two or three high schools in the state of Alabama at the time when I started. And now the only way I can think of geography in this state is by what high schools are nearby. It's like, oh, North, that's like Sparkman, that's Florence, that's Decatur, that's Austin, that's Athens, all of that area. That's how I have to think now. And the people at Auburn Mass Media that poured some time into me and taught me to care what this community was really about, what the state was really about. But being able to cut my teeth with a radio crew as experienced and as passionate about the city and the high school as Jack, and we'll have Rob Pate doing some color commentary, as well as Carson Meyer being able to fill in doing some producing as well as, or some board operation as well as some color commentary. Brandon Gurgley will be doing some of that as well. I'm really excited, and I think it's going to be a fun season. I'm really high on what Auburn can be this season.
Oh gosh, yeah. I mean, you bring in back a four-star quarterback in Carson Myers that's committed to Arkansas. You bring in back a stout run game. You're going to be able to air it out. But I think what Auburn High always has is the fly around defensive backs and the linebackers that just wreak havoc in the backfield. Scott Goolsby does a great job with that defense. And so it's going to be fun again, man. There's a lot of fun trips coming. We've got to go all the way down to Saraland this year.
Fort Walton Beach, baby.
Fort Walton Beach is another one pretty quickly out of the gate. So, yeah, a lot of fun trips coming up, man.
Yeah. Very much so. So, again, congratulations again, Jack Hudden, officially. I guess it's been official for quite some time, but being able to say it publicly on air, and hopefully there's no repercussions. I don't know if I was supposed to do that or not, but we're a month until football season gets started. I think I have the okay.
The graphic is sitting in the Canva right now.
To do something like that.
I can show you that, actually.
But Jack Hudden, the voice of the Auburn High School Tigers, taking the reins for the Tigers. And again, Jack and Tripp, Rob Pate as well, you mentioned Carson doing some work as well, myself, Caleb Robertson on the Lee Scott Sports Network. Very, very excited to continue another fantastic year of high school coverage between Auburn, between Lee Scott, and should be a heck of a year while we still are able to give you the best knowledge that we can possibly give you and the best opinions that we can possibly give you for Auburn University as well. That being said, I have to do my due diligence.
Okay.
And the last time that Lee Scott played Auburn, yeah, buddy. That's all. 73-67.
Hang the banner.
In round two.
1-1. Hang the banner.
Once we beat this team. Yeah. No, I know. Auburn's got some payback to give him back to. We're going to be, I believe we're going to do, are we still doing the Tandem broadcast that I know you and Jacob got famous for.
I don't know that there has been confirmation on this being accepted by one of the schools.
Sure. That makes sense. That makes sense. Maybe we'll walk that back. I didn't just say that.
No, not at all. Well, after that, because of that, we'll take a break. We're actually in commercial break right now. But no, did want to give a shout out to these gentlemen that are in the room with me, because I think it's rightfully so, because Friday nights mean so, so much in Auburn and Opelika and throughout the South. And so being able to have really, really good Lee Scott coverage, really, really good Auburn High coverage, something that we take a whole lot of pride in, as well as hopefully halfway decent radio coverage in terms of On the Line as well. But we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we will wrap up the Free for All Friday edition and talk about what Tampa, Florida is going to look like and everything but the overall weather, because, my goodness, it's going to be hot, but wouldn't want it any other way. We're back to wrap up the show right after this.
You are On the Line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up the Free for All Friday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7, counting you down to the weekends. And when our show is complete, that just means you're 2 hours closer. And for all you know, you've already started your weekends, and hopefully so. If not, you're acting as if you're
5 o'clock.
Typing on the computer. You're seeing how many squares you can make in your Google Excel or whatever the case may be. Typing in a bunch of numbers. How many times can you type in 1, 2, 3 as fast as you can while the AirPods just sitting in the left ear and you have us playing on ESPN 106.7.
Go on Sporkle and try to name all 138 FBS college
football
teams.
We did that. I put them on that yesterday.
You said you got 136?
I did. Shout out.
You forgot Temple?
Temple and, oh my goodness, it was a CUSA school.
Kennesaw or somebody.
Why would I ever
Middle Tennessee?
No, I got MTSU. I tried to put in Eastern Tennessee, and I was like, why is it not letting me put in Eastern? No, it was Temple, and it was a West Coast adjacent school, I'm pretty sure. I'd have to go.
Still, 138.
Yeah. What you would like, because I know that you would like challenges like this, is try to do college baseball.
Oh.
It's surprising how many schools you'll be like, oh my gosh, I forgot that existed.
Well, when we were talking with Coach Sean Wagner, the head coach for Milwaukee, when they were making their way down to Plainsman Park. Thankfully, they didn't make any noise whatsoever at Plainsman Park. But Trip Live asked him the question of, you're the only school, Division I school, represented in Wisconsin. And I was like, why would you say that? And I was like,
first week on the air, basically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was brand new. And I was like, why would you say that? And I was like,
wait a minute.
Oh, he's okay.
I Googled it immediately before asking.
Coach was like, yeah, that's why we wear the outline of the states on our hat.
And so it was a great question.
It ended up being great. But I was like, no, why would you? Why? Stop. But that's
like Steph Curry shooting from the moon.
That's how
the Badgers for some reason don't play baseball.
Neither do the Marquette Golden Eagles.
No, they do not.
We never finished our. This is such inside baseball thing, but we the other day in our group chat me and Jack did a.
Some people have to work.
I was at work. It was the FCS by mascot A through Z. We got to M.
Yeah.
I think O was cooked. I went ahead and kind of looked.
Well, see, I started getting into like college basketball and baseball, and I was like, do they have a football team? I don't know. Like for N, I thought about the Northern Kentucky Norse.
Mm-hmm. You know,
but they don't have a football team. So
they don't?
No, they don't.
I don't think they would be.
It's a weird, it's just weird just seeing so many different sports.
North Georgia Nighthawks.
Sure. How everything works, but. Yeah, same thing with the 82-0, the 162-0, the 15-0, the 17-0s, where you're trying to format the perfect NBA team or the perfect college football team, whatever the case may be.
We got to do another starting lineup of something.
That is one thing that we do need to somehow implement into our show, because Jack, Jacob Goins, and myself, again, the three stooges, it feels like, and now Trip working his way into it as well.
Yes,
our apprentice.
He is the apprentice.
Literally.
We have an entire note sheet of starting five, but for random inanimate objects.
What did we do the other night? Barnyard animals?
Oh, yeah. We have barnyard animals. We have kitchen appliances. Sodas.
Had a rabbit as a starting point.
I had a good one the other day. I meant to text y'all, but I'll think of it.
That needs to be something we ask on the air and then we just randomly we find a way to discuss that live. No premeditated knowledge. No nothing. But that's for another time. But next Monday, we're in Tampa, Florida, baby. SEC Media Days brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic, Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge, Apex Pest Solutions, and the Depot in downtown Auburn. A big-time thank you to all of our sponsors for getting us down there, and we are so excited to bring you coverage on ESPN 106.7. Sports are so much better with an opinion, whether you love them, whether you hate them. We're back on Monday in Tampa, Florida to talk all about them. He's Jack Hutton. He's Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. We'll hope you'll be there to join us.